Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK.
Welcome to the English Defence League radio show, the place where we discuss the issues that the newspapers, TV and terrestrial radio, oh my goodness, man, that's just gone funny on me, sorry, right? Won't touch. This is the place where you will be apprised of the unpleasant truth regarding these issues of Islam and its effects in the West, and can join in discussions about the facts, not the polished and anonymous half-truths that the authorities publish to keep you quiet. The English Defence League radio show is the programme for the English Defence League members and supporters, in that you will find the same honesty and direct approach that you have come to expect from us. This is your platform. The show is yours. Come and join us. So with that, I've just made that is our little statement that we'd like to open up now and again to everybody that's listening into the show this evening. And tonight, my co-host of the show, oh my goodness me, the co-host of the show tonight is Kel, a.k.a. the Red Fox blogger. And tonight, with the nickname of Wahhabi's Third Wife, Kel, welcome in. Oh, my goodness me.
Hi, Jeff.
Absolutely classic. Thank you, Kel, for giving me a giggle. Well, it's Friday night, for goodness sake, isn't it? We always like to have a...
It's a Comedy Central.
Comedy Central Friday night. But we got a few... Also, I've got to say, and I see... He actually did struggle tonight coming through the cat flap, so I think he's gone on one of those strict diets today. But he slid through there rather slingy. He's, of course, our very own cat strangler, 101, Mr. Tim Burton. Who let the cat out? Meow!
Yes, thank you very much, Tim. Jeff. Yes. Good evening, Jeff, and good evening, Kel. How are you both tonight?
All good,
I am infidelly fine.
Oh, there you go.
And I'm
infidelity got a slight headache.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm unbelievably better, so can't be bad.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry to hear that, Jeff. You're a bit under the weather today, are you?
A little bit, yeah. So, as I say, the last couple of days, I didn't have a very good night's sleep, or didn't have no sleep the other night, and I think it's just reflecting a little bit today. It's giving me one of those, headaches that you get when you've lack of sleep. So, never mind, Tim, the tablets are working, and of course,
That's it, keep taking the tablets. Right-tailed
and pushy-tailed as usual for the show.
Excellent. Good. Glad to hear it.
So, there you go. But something, do you know what? I was looking at the news today, and it caught my eye. What we've been discussing, Tim and Kel, and Agador and Tommy, is what we've been talking about lately has come to pass. We have had a British suicide bomber in Syria.
There
you go. That the things that we said. And, of course, the threats that they've been making that, I've got a story that I think I'm not sure if we discussed it or we discussed it on the archive part of the show last night, but I think it's something that we should basically cover tonight.
Has Theresa May made a statement yet about whether he's going to be allowed back in the UK? And if so, in how many parts?
Tim...
Oh, you are awful. Oh, you are awful, Timmy.
Oh, you are awful. But I like it. Yeah, I remember that. Dick Emery.
Yeah.
But I, as I say, I don't know. But it is another worrying aspect to the whole thing. And we've got the threats, haven't we, from this Islamic group out there who are threatening, that they're going to come over to the UK and they're going to start a bit of a bombing, a suicidal bombing spree, and the same in the US as well. So, and of course, then today that we hear that one of them's actually blew himself up, suicide bombing. So that's something that we was discussing from last night of some of the implications. And like we were saying, the things should be done to stop these people from returning. Take away, as Kel said, take away their passport, the citizenship, their British citizenship, and, so to keep them back out of the country, if that's the case, then they should stay where they are. Or go to where
and
they
take their families too,
and
well,
the camels as well.
Yeah, Because what we were discussing, ladies and gentlemen, anybody who didn't listen to the archive last night may have missed a little part of this conversation. But what we were saying was that, I mean, obviously, if they're suicide bombers, yes, they might well have Theresa May barring them from ever coming back in the UK, which, of course, would be a lot of good. But I just wouldn't put that sort of thing past our Home Secretary, shutting the stable door after the horse has bolted. But more importantly, and on a more serious note, we really ought to be taking stronger steps and saying that if somebody does undertake a suicide or what they call martyrdom operation abroad, then that should have consequences for their families back here. And that should be widely publicised and well known so that the family don't go out and celebrate and say, oh, we've got another son in the family, he's a martyr, and hand out sweets and chocolates to all their friends and relatives and so on. It should be clearly understood that it's going to have repercussions far and wide amongst their family. And if they took a leaf out of... I mentioned Israel last night because I do know that under certain circumstances in Israel, the families of suicide bombers can find that they have all their possessions confiscated, they have their house bulldozed, and the entire family is ordered out of the country. But I believe Russia is also taking a very strong stance. That was something we were talking about last night. I think Agador brought it up. And in Russia, it's clearly understood now that families of suicide bombers are going to have a very, very heavy penalty to pay if one of their family members decides that he's going to play the martyrdom card. Obviously, once they've played that card, there's not a great deal you can do to that person. But what you can do is make the family understand that they will be held liable for the consequences. And I think that's a really, really good step. Because at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, we are at war, without question. Governments may not have formally declared war, but that doesn't mean that we aren't at war, because we are. Anyway, I'll hand the microphone back to you, Jeff, so you can pass it around and get some extra comments.
Yes, thank you, Tim, for your comment as well. And as we said, guys, these are some of the serious issues that we'll be discussing tonight on the show. And if you want to call in, maybe in about 40 minutes, about half past nine our time, you can call in and make some comments about some of the things we've been discussing. The number to call in, if you're a Skype user and you've hooked up to Blog Talk Radio, which is free, if you left click on the Skype button, follow the prompts, and when it says, do you want to speak to the host or do you want to listen to the show, you'll press 1 on whatever device that you are on. But if you're not, and you're outside of the USA, the number to call in is 001-858-777-5934. I'll repeat, 001-858-777-5934. And with that, Kel, your thoughts of what we've just been discussing then about the what we should do to stop these people from returning to this country. Would you go along with what Tim was saying, that we should, you know, maybe a little bit, you're going, a lot of the Russians are doing, put quite a bit of pressure on their families? Do you think that is the case? Is that the way forward, would you say, yourself, personally?
It is. I'm absolutely for everything that Tim said and that you have said, Jeff. I'm getting very sick and tired of this. As you know, I'm out of Canada. All your listeners know that. And we have been having very serious issues about not only homegrown terrorism, but with these Islamists leaving the country to fight jihad in other lands. Syria in particular is a real thorn in our side. And they come back and they have all the rights and privileges of a Canadian citizen. It's time to stop it. And I posted an article in the chat room last night, and that Stephen Harper, his government, they are looking into revamping the immigration system. I think what Tim said last night, and he reiterated today is totally appropriate in that not only deport the entire family, but bulldoze the houses and get rid of them. We don't need this. You know, the gloves are off. Islam, you have to realize the gloves are off because we're fed up. We're Islamo fed up. So
yeah.
We are going to get you. We are coming after
I would
you
say,
because we're
you know,
tired.
We,
we're tired.
Yes, we are, Kel. I agree. But the thing about it, I won't go quite as far as, if I was the Home Secretary, I won't go quite as far as bulldozing the homes, because some of these people have been given very expensive homes, as Tim would know. Some of them live in also almost like mansions.
Oh, yeah,
that's
true. That's true. What we would do, yeah, you're right, Jeff. You're right. Okay, let's do it this way then. Let's evict the family, deport them, and get that nice
take away
home
all their assets,
to
totally.
Maybe, yeah, get that pass over that home to a family in need, a nice indigenous English
good
family.
Point. And that's what I was leading to, Kel, because
yeah.
We've got a lot of people, young families out there that struggle to get a council place. As Tim knows, he knows the situation in this country, and we have discussed it on a numerous occasions, the problems that the young families have today. Unless they, you know, can afford to buy their own homes, this, that, and the other, sometimes they've got to go on the council list, haven't they, Tim? And as Tim will let you know, there is, I think, in some places, 10 years waiting list now. Am I right, Tim?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it may even be more than that in some places. But of course, nobody would mind that so much if you knew that once you got your place on your council list, you were going to be moving up the list one at a time, and eventually you would reach the top. But it annoys people beyond measure when you suddenly find that you've been pushed back down the list because some immigrant family has come in and some well-meaning social worker has said, oh, well, their needs are much greater than the indigenous couple's needs. And they might have, I don't know, 10 children. And so we're going to put them on the council list ahead of everybody else and give them a great big house. And this might easily be because they've got 10 children. They might get a mansion in a very good part of London worth £2 or £3 million. And I'm not exaggerating, ladies and gentlemen. This does actually happen on a regular basis in certainly in London and in some of the other cities of the UK. We do see large immigrant families having been given huge houses that immigrant families being given huge houses that indigenous couples or couples with one or two children could never dream of affording to own. And it's the sheer unfairness of the whole system that helps to generate, amongst other things, so much resentment against immigrants. And it's quite unnecessary. If we said that everybody is going to be treated fairly and in the same way, and not to give preference to incoming families in this way, you wouldn't get half the resentment in the country that you have. And you would you hear about the politicians who are talking all the time about how community cohesion is so important. Well, nothing destroys community cohesion so much as seeing the inequalities that take place when social workers take those sort of actions and give priorities to incoming people who haven't paid anything into the system, and who are just given enormous houses or houses well beyond the reach of the indigenous couples with small children. It just generates a huge amount of resentment, quite unnecessarily.
It certainly does, and as I say, we got to put the blame where it firmly lies, and that's with, as I say, the councils, all the people that's involved in creating the problems, the issues that we're discussing this evening. If I was in charge, I'd just make sure that you look after your own, and then, yeah, maybe we can cater for other people, you know, later. But it needs, the issues need to be resolved in with what's going on within our own people, of their country, and the needs of others should come in second place, not paramount over the indigenous people of this country. And I think you would agree with that, Tim. And
well,
also, Tim,
yeah,
I'd like to also let you know that as it was, I think Eric said, it was Dodgy Dave said, just to let you know, Tim, there's only 85% of the magistrates in Birmingham are Islamic. So just to
I actually saw that, and I'm just typing a response now, and here it comes. Here we go.
Of course you might be, but
good odds for any patriotic grummy, I say. 85% of Birmingham magistrates are Islam. Yes.
Well, I thought it'd take the cheer you up there, Tim. You
know. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
But no, you were going to say, and I'm sorry to. To take your thought away that you were just about to engage in. Go ahead, Tim.
Oh, yeah. Lost my thread. I was just going to say, when it comes to what we're talking about with Birmingham magistrates, I think that if it's only 85%, I should be in there with a good chance of winning, I think. So I'm not too worried about that. But, the topic that we're talking about isn't just the houses and the incoming families who get these huge houses, although that is a big factor. It's the perception that they get to the top of the queue when it comes to an awful lot of welfare benefits, all sorts. And it's that feeling of unfairness that just generates so much resentment. Now, I see Eric has just put an article in the chat room,
a
Somali family of 10. Yeah, this is exactly the point. A Somali family of 10 who live just down the road from him. They've got a house valued at £2.5 million, and not only that, but the council went in and refitted it at a cost of an extra £100,000. Now, when you consider that the average cost of a house in the UK, not a refit, a complete house in the UK is not much more than £100,000, you get a scale of how unfair it is.
Yeah,
when they
it's almost, I'd like to say, Tim, just to interject there, that it almost feels a lot perverse, doesn't it? It almost feels perverse, the way that they are spending money left, right and centre, where people are struggling to make ends meet, and this family of 10 have been moved into this 2.5 million home with a 100k refit. Now, this is what we talk about, ladies and gentlemen. Do you think this is really unfair, that what they're doing within this country? And maybe you'd like to call in, and as I say, if you want to call in about in about 30, 40 minutes from now at 9:30, and we would like to take your comments on what we've been discussing. But Kel, your thoughts there about that as well.
I don't even know where to begin with this topic, you know, because everybody knows that I'm quite a hardliner when it comes to the issues of Islam, and I really don't want to show any mercy on them. And when it just leads me back to full circle, or it leads me into running in circles, but there is something that has to be done, and I'm, you know, just referring to this issue about these terrorists that disappear and run over and fight jihad. I'm just at the end of my rope. Like, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to contribute to this particular segment. I really don't, because I'm frustrated.
You
want to
blow your top, don't you, Kel? You want to really?
Save up the F bombs for later on in the show, Kel, because we all enjoy them. You know, if you go to the top of the hour and we haven't had an F bomb from Kel, then we start thinking amongst ourselves, it's about time we had an F bomb from Kel. So save them up, Kel.
I only use the F bomb. bomb when Mohammed, the Mohammed minions come up. That's
yeah.
it. Yeah,
okay.
That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the Mohammed minions, and I'm, and it's time that something was done about it. Now, how we go about doing that, Tim has very good ideas. Jeff, you have very good ideas as well. But how to actually deal with them. And I liked what Agador said yesterday when he was part of the panel on the show yesterday, in that he said, they have the swords in their sheaths, but we have the swords in our minds. And we have to start thinking very, very seriously about how we're going to think outside the box, because they are gaining a foothold in the West, and it is devastating. It's very, very dire. We have to start thinking outside the box. Now, how we do that, I don't know. We have a weapon called the Internet. We could certainly utilize that one. But
yeah.
Is that enough? Because they also have weapons and that they use. They also utilize the Internet. That's the biggest problem, is that this is how we're getting all of these people, if I can call them that, leaving the country, the host country, and going abroad to fight jihad because they're attracting
the
Internet
as
well.
Them what they are, okay, well, the Karanimals.
Karanimals.
That's what they are. That's it.
Yeah.
Let's use a term, and we'll use it the proper way, because that's what they are. And then those Karanimals want to come back here and introduce the terrorist tactics into this country. And, of course, the USA, which they threatened from yesterday, didn't they, the article that was in the Daily Mail. So should we allow them back? No, definitely.
Well,
and
yeah.
The Home Secretary, she's in a place where she should now really be getting her act together, because we're looking towards her to do something constructive. You know, she's in charge of this situation, of what's going on, and she should really crack the whip and say, right, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to stop them from returning. We're going to make sure that they won't be able to return here. We'll take away their citizenship, and all the things that we've said she should do. She's paid the big money. We only express our views of what should be done, but she's paid to do that, instead of sitting there and wagging the finger and saying, well, we might do this, and let's do something constructive. Do it. Stop them coming back, and stop them from going out. If you know that these are terrorist groups or are jihadists, then basically you can have them interned. If they are going against the national security's interests, you should have them interned. Whether that's classed as draconian, well, it's just too bad. We live in dangerous times, and they're dangerous people, and they should be dragged off the street and incarcerated. Tim, your views, and Kel, of what I've just
said. Yeah,
stated.
Well, I mean, you're quite right. It is a national security issue. It's moved far beyond a simple question of immigration. It's moved far beyond a simple question of criminality and antisocial behaviour that these people get up to when they're here. And it's moved into the issue of national security. In fact, it's been a national security issue for quite a while. But, of course, our politicians, Prime Minister, Home Secretary, the politicians who should have their finger on the pulse when it comes to issues like this, they are either ignorant, or they are being advised by people who want to distract them from what's really happening. I suspect that there's a combination of things going on here. I suspect they are surrounded by advisers who are playing down the seriousness of the Islamic problem in this country, and they are also probably far too taken up with important things like how to get re-elected, to worry about how dangerous Islam really is when it gets a foothold into any Western country. I'd say that's probably a characteristic of pretty much any politician, and it's probably unfair of me to single out David Cameron and Theresa May. But nevertheless, they are the people.
Well, they are in
the
power,
people,
aren't they? Let's
they
be honest, Tim, and what,
power,
you're so right to actually point that out.
Yeah,
I think you're very right. Like we should do. They're in power, and they've got the authority to do these things. They're given the rights for national security, and if there's problems there, then they should, go to the house of the laws, whatever it is, and say, look, we need this law to be sorted out and to push it through. They can push it through if they want to, Tim. This is the thing. If they need to push that through, they can do. If it's a thing of national security, which this is, then they should be able to just go and they get the vote for it, and then they can just do it instead of beating around the bush. Which is good, because it's becoming very serious now that some of these people could be returning here to cause havoc on these on our lands, and not just ourselves, but the American friends as well, and probably Canadians, etc., etc. So it's about time for them sitting on their backsides and not doing something, for them to do something constructive now. So there you go.
Well, okay, I mean, we've got the situation where our politicians aren't taking notice of the problems they ought to be, and that's one of the reasons we're here, because somebody has to stand up and say something, because if the politicians think that they can get away with ignoring people like us forever, then they are terribly, terribly wrong. With any changing situation in politics, politicians may well get away with things for a short period of time until the public consciousness catches up with them. But when the public consciousness does catch up with them, by which I mean when sufficient numbers of the public realise that they have been taken for a ride, that they have been duped, that they have been sold a pup, or as the Americans say, sold a bill of goods regarding Islam and its less than beneficial effects on our society, when people wake up to that fact, and they are waking up in exponential numbers, then there will be change. But we have to keep on the pressure, and we have to keep taking every opportunity to let them know that we are not letting this subject lie down. And the more people we talk to, and the more people we can talk to in an informative and a constructive a way to grab their interest and give them the facts in a way that they can understand them enough to pass them on to their friends and colleagues, the more successful we will be. And that's what we're here to do, because people will tell you that Islam and it is a very hard thing to understand. Well, no, it isn't. You need to understand it in a particular way, and you need not to listen to what Muslims tell you, because they'll just try and distract you. But it's actually not that difficult to understand once you pick up a few principles. I won't go into details right this minute, because that isn't the discussion we're having. But nevertheless, once you start understanding, then you can explain it to other people, and they can go on to explain it to others, and then you get the public consciousness building up. And so that's what we're here for.
Exactly. And also, something that Blue Sky has just jumped out at me in the chat room. Thank you, Blue Sky, for that comment. Kick out the Muslim Brotherhood from London, who have been designated a terrorist organisation in Egypt. Thank you for that, and I would totally agree with that comment there. You, Tim, and Kel, what would you feel about that comment?
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, and shut down all the front groups, shut down CARE, shut down the Canadian Association of Muslims, shut them down, shut down the Council of American Muslims, shut down the Student Muslim Association, shut them down, shut the front groups down, because we all know that they are fronted by Saudi money. And of course, absolutely, what Blue Sky said, kick out the Muslim Brotherhood, shut it down, and impeach Obama after absolutely. Like, this is absolutely enough, in that we are catering to these groups. And not only that, gentlemen, but we're funding them. They get funding. They get federal funding. Your tax dollars, people. These are your tax dollars going towards people who want to blow us up. Shut them all down. Shut it up.
Yes.
And get them the hell out of our universities and colleges, for God's sake.
And as Vito, I'd like to make what Vito said in a comment there. Thank you, Vito. He's saying, if the Egyptian government can declare the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization, why can't we in the West do the same? And, thank you for very much for that, Vito, and I would agree with you, and probably I know Tim and Carol. Your thoughts for what Vito just said there, Carol?
Oh, absolutely. Why can't we do that? And Vito also put in there that 80% of the mosques in America are funded by Saudi and land leases owned under the North American Islamic Trust, and that is true. We have to also go into their trust funds, their bank accounts. We have to make sure that we know exactly where the money trail leads to. We went through this with the Holy Land Foundation, with the Council of American Islamic Relations, and they were an unindicted co-conspirator in which they were funding Hamas and Hezbollah. We have to have their bank accounts marked. We cannot afford not to do this, because they are, it's a political movement. Islam is a political movement. We don't pick on Muslims here. We pick on the political entity called Islam. That's what we do here, and this is what I'm gunning for. This is what I do. But they impose so many damned other things, like Sharia law, in which women are secondhand citizens. People don't realize that, a lot of people don't realize, women in Saudi Arabia can't even drive. Because you know why? Because if they get behind the wheel of a car, it affects their ovaries, so they cannot breed. Like, this is what we're dealing with.
This is what is in the West with us.
This is insanity, people.
It certainly is, Carol. And I would like to say also, if you don't mind, I'd like to also just to notice Vito's just said something, declare the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization, and now can freeze their assets and go after MSA, CAR, NAIT, ISNA, ICNAB, all the other phony groups, which are, I think we just said that they should go after. That's what we said. So thank you, Vito, for that as well. So I think most of us, and in the chat room, agree with what we've been saying, that they should go after them and shut them down totally, and just shut them up, basically. But the trouble is, as I say, and I think we would all agree that it's got to do with the petrol dollar. We do know that Saudi has a lot of influence over our politicians. That's the reason why they would rather sort of go and hide in the corner instead of actually mentioning that a lot of these mosques are Saudi backed and Saudi funded. And that is the case, isn't it, guys? This is it.
Oh, yeah.
A bit of a quagmire but at the same time,
yes.
You've got to do what's right for your nation, of your country, whether it is to upset the Saudis, so be it. So what?
There's no doubt that if we upset the governments of the Middle East, and Saudi in particular, it is going to have a short-term effect on our economy, because there are all sorts of measures that they could take to make our lives difficult, because they own so much in the way of real estate over here. They've got so much influence in politics and in our universities, and they have infiltrated to an extent that if we want to take meaningful action now, it is going to be difficult, because they could take steps which would, in the short term, pretty much paralyze our economy. And I'm sure that's what our politicians are scared of. It would only take a few phone calls from Saudi Arabia to a few influential people here, and they could substantially shut the economy down. But that would only need to be a short-term thing, because if that actually happened, I mean, our politicians are so scared of it, but if it actually happened, then we would have grounds immediately to declare it a national security issue and say, right, we're going to seize all Saudi-owned assets in the country, we're going to imprison all Saudi nationals in this country, or anybody else who's associated with them who could be designated a terrorist threat in national security interests, and we could very quickly recover from that. Our politicians don't want the short-term pain. Arguably, if we didn't have our armed forces tied up in a fool's errand in Iraq and Afghanistan at the moment, which they currently are, we could take those forces and perhaps, you know, just go into Saudi Arabia and say, we're going to kick your ass and take your gas. Which is,
it's funny you should say that, because Eric's just said that in the chat.
Oh, well, yeah. Bomb
he said,
the
as
crap
I've
out
said,
them. Yes. Bomb the crap out of them
said,
and take the oil. It's pretty much the same thing, yes.
He said, if the Saudi turn the oil taps off, then the USA and us should bomb the crap out of them and take the oil.
This is the point. In the short term, it would undoubtedly mean pain. And our politicians at the moment, they are not used to dealing with short-term pain. In fact, they're not really used to dealing with pain at all, which is why they don't take the actions that they should do in order to protect the indigenous populations in the West. It's why we have the problem we do in the first place. But if we could look beyond the short-term pain that we would have as a result of taking the steps I've just mentioned, then we would find, in fact, we could bring things round in pretty short order. But it does take a little bit of political will, which is not there at the moment. But vote for Tim, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll get there. I promise you that.
There you go.
Everybody in the country tomorrow voted for, well, not just me on my own. I'd obviously have my panelists in the chat room as special advisors, and all the listeners currently listening would have important positions as well. So, you know, I wouldn't be leaving anybody out of this.
No.
But I think if we actually took those steps and put up with a little bit of short-term pain and said, we are going to be in a little bit of trouble for maybe, I don't know, 2 or 3 months, we could pretty much, we could pretty quickly overcome those problems and get the West back on the right track.
Well, we've always managed our own affairs before in the past, and if that means you just have a bit of short-term pain, so be it. As Eric and other people say, well, you just go and take the bloody oil off of them. if they're trying to hold us to blackmail and the West to blackmail, let's just go and take the oil, and if it causes a big hoo-ha, too bad. But then again, that's only my personal opinion. It just doesn't reflect on the English Defence League as such, but my own personal opinion.
Well, I think it is important that we do look beyond the borders of this country. I mean, I know we are the English Defence League, okay, and primarily the focus for us as we talk is this country. But the problem with Islam is a worldwide problem, and steps we might take are going to have worldwide repercussions. If we were to take meaningful steps from a political point of view, without doubt they would have worldwide repercussions. So it's important for us to talk about those potential repercussions, because when we do eventually get some sanity restored to the political landscape, we are going to have to consider international opinion. We are going to have to look at what will happen if we take the steps that need to be taken. I mean, Blue Sky has mentioned in the chat room, soon Iran will have nuclear bombs and then everything will change in the Middle East. That is certainly true. I mean, I personally think we should be doing everything we can right now to make sure that doesn't happen. I mean, for all I know, there may be things going on of which we are unaware, which means that
I'm sure
Iran
there is,
will have a few surprises coming.
Yeah, I would like to say that you are probably spot on with what you said there, that there's lots of things that goes on that we're not privy to.
Okay.
I'd like to get Kel's input on that as well, and I'd also to see if there's anybody in the chat room who'd maybe like to phone in and add their two cents. Come on, people.
Yes,
one or two of you must like to talk to us. But Kel, you must have a view on that.
Well, I'm just referring to what you said, Tim, about the English Defence League. It is not insular. It's not. As a matter of fact, I would consider the English Defence League to be generic at this point, because there are divisions all over the planet right now. We have the Canadian Defence League, the American Defence League, the Australian Defence League. For God's sake, we have the Chinese Defense League. Tommy Robinson and Kev Carroll started a movement, and it went global. So the English Defence League, no, it is not insular, and it is not confined to England anymore. The EDL belongs to all of us globally. But one thing I do want to bring up, if I can just switch gears for a moment, is that Army EDF News, he put in the chat room that the English Volunteer Force, they're hosting their Islamophobia Awards for 2014. And ladies and gentlemen, I give you the Islamophobia Awards 2014, which will be held in London on the 21st of February. Apparently, it's an evening of comedy exposing the world's worst Islamophobes. It's been set up by the Islamic Human Rights Commission, which stands for... the Islamic Human Rights Commission, which is a joke in itself.
I'm
Islam and human rights in the same sentence. They must be comedians. Here is a paragraph
well, that's what
from
I was saying.
Their
that's
website.
That's got to be comedians. And I thought there was no humor in Islam, Kel.
That's, that's what the Ayatollah Khomeini said, famously. There is no humor in Islam.
There's no humor in Islam. And I was in mid-sentence and I lost myself. Sorry, gentlemen.
Sorry,
Islam
girl.
And human rights in the same sentence? They must be comedians. Here is a paragraph from their website about the awards night. They are back. The Islamophobia Awards are returning after a well-earned rest. Join us for an evening of comedy mayhem as we recognize the worst Islamophobes from around the world. It's all down to you. You nominate and vote for the worst offenders. The winners will be announced at our fundraising award ceremony on the 21st of February, 2014, with an additional prize awarded to the worst overall Islamophobe. And I've already got my nomination, and I think EDL Radio will take the prize.
Well, I'd like to
quickly interject there, but if they've got these special awards for the worst Islamophobe, this, that, and the other comedy night, then I'm sure that ourselves in the organisation of the EDL, we could have our own Christopherphobes and Judaphobes awards for the worst, perpetrators of those crimes. But and of course, we could do the same thing. We could have a comedy sort of issue on it as well. So
I think we should. I mean, there are all sorts of reasons you could get an Islamophobia award. I mean, for example. I was once called the worst Islamophobe that Mohammed Ansar had ever met.
Oh, Big
and
Mo said that to you,
Big
didn't
Mo,
he?
That, you know, that's quite a praise in itself. But there must be other people out there who deserve a special mention for their Islamophobic activities. You know, we should be praising them because, of course, yes. It's not Islamophobia when they really are out to kill you, as we all know.
Exactly. Well said, Tim. Oh, Sarah Bellas just said, if we'd done something like that, so then we should have it hosted by say Black Condell. How about that, guys? That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yes, that would be tremendous. I'm a great fan of Pat Condell.
Christophobe awards and Judophobic award sort of thing to maybe echo the same sentiments of what they're trying to push out there on the rest of the unsuspecting public.
Yes, quite so. Stanger has said in the chat room, there's no such thing as Islamophobia because phobias are irrational fears. And, of course, we know it as Islamorealism or Islamo-nausea, don't we, ladies and gentlemen?
Yes, certainly do. I've got Dodgy Dave saying, can't we have a Best Dimmy Award? And I think that makes good sense as well, Dave.
In fact, I think it was Jihad Watch or perhaps Atlas Shrugs or maybe both of them together that actually put together Dimmy Awards over the past few years. I don't know if you've seen them on those particular websites, ladies and gentlemen, but certainly Jihad Watch they hold the best Freedom Fighter Awards and the best Dimmy Awards every year, and I think it might have been last year we had Geert Wilders of the Netherlands. He was nominated as one of the best freedom fighters in the West, and I can't remember who they nominated as the best Dimmey, whether it was David Cameron or Theresa May or one of the British politicians, but they do that every year. But there's no reason we couldn't have one of our own competitions, you know. The more the better, as far as I'm concerned. If it brings it to people's attention that we do have these politicians who are exhibiting irrational signs of dimitude, then, you know, we should be highlighting it. George Galloway, yeah, says Kel. Galloway would be up there. Yes, he would. And Dodgy Dave.
Yeah. Actually, that was Dodgy Dave's suggestion, and I certainly agree with that. And we do have a caller on the air, Jeff, but do you need to take a break at this point?
I bet, yeah, as I say, it's just come up to that time that I need to take a break. For Delstar, if you just hold on for a couple of minutes or so, we're just going to take a quick break, and then as soon as we return, I'll bring you on to the into the studio, into the chat room. Okay, so with that, I'm going to pass it back to Carol, and then we'll have a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll take your call. So thank you very much for calling into the show. We'll take Kel back to you.
Absolutely. Ed Delstar, please hang on the line. We're going to be back in less than 5 minutes, but I want to share with you something from Tommy, and while Jeff does.
Yeah.
And
yes, certainly
this is a very important parable that you have to listen to. This is Tommy's life. Tommy, as you know, is one of the Fab Four here on the English Defense League radio program, and he cannot be with us tonight, but Tommy is always reiterating what's going on in his neighborhood, in his life, and this is his story. This is him growing up. Take a listen, people. Because I played the wrong intro.
Okay, well, did you want to go again, Kel?
No,
it's fine.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. I played the wrong one.
Kel, you've got an echo.
Yeah, I'm hanging up and I'm calling back in. Yeah, because I'm getting an echo. So I'll be back in a moment.
Okay, Kel. So I don't know if it could sometimes it's my my end that we get this the problem, Tim. So I'm not sure whether are you getting an echo from me?
No. It's now that Kel has hung up.
Don't tell a lie. I have an echo.
You do.
Yes.
Oh, so it's possibly me. So I might, ladies and gentlemen, you just have to bear with me just for a second while I call back in. Tim, are you okay for a second?
Are we okay if both you and Kel log out at the same time? Is that going to cause us the problem?
I think Kel's back now anyway. Let's see if Kel's... Because if that's the case, it's me, and I'll have to recall back in, Tim. So, I think she's back. Kel, are you there? Let me see if I can...
I am absolutely here.
And are you still getting an echo again? Okay, and it's me, Kel. Ladies and gentlemen, we do apologise for this, but sometimes it just does happen that, from my end, that we get sometimes a problem. But we'll be right back after this. And Delstar, we'll get back to you as soon as I return. It'll be maybe a minute or so, okay? So thank you very much for hanging on, and I'll be right back, guys, okay? So, Kel and Tim, go ahead.
Well, we will. There we go. Oh, yes,
absolutely.
Now Jeff has hung up. The echo has gone. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I wouldn't complain too much because there are a lot of people in the recording industry who would pay big bucks to have a good quality echo like that. So, we really shouldn't complain. That's what I say. But when Jeff calls back in, hopefully the sound will be back to normal and we can carry on. Kel, shall I tell these people what Alla has been up to on the violin front this week?
Oh, yes, Tim. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, sit back. Oh, this is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just a little story that I picked up on the internet today, and it's about a chap who goes by the wonderful name of Mr. Allah, and his first name is Universal, so that's Universal Allah, and if that wasn't bad enough, his middle name is Knowledge, so his full name is Mr. Universal Knowledge Allah. Now, I can't believe that his parents actually gave him that name when he was in the cradle, but you never know. Anyway, he's a suspect in the theft of a violin, and not just any old violin, but a 300-year-old Stradivarius violin, which was worth about $6 million. And what happened was he accosted somebody in, let me just see if I can find out where it is, in Milwaukee. On February the 3rd, and he followed a concert violinist out of a concert and tasered him when he was in the car park, nicked his violin and ran off with it. And the story I'm currently looking at here is you do have to wonder, if he had a bit of divine guidance, because apparently the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as some people say, did say that Allah commanded him to do away with all musical instruments. So I do think that this guy might have had a bit of divine guidance and nicked this violin, thinking that if I ever get caught, I'm going to use that in my defence. I'm going to stand up in court and say, well, it's not my fault, Your Honour. Allah told me to do it, and just to prove it, I've changed my name to his. So you can just imagine what's going through this guy's mind. Or perhaps you can't, actually. Now I mention it, may try to work out what's going through this guy's mind might actually be a fool's errand. But anyway, he nicked this violin.
Let's not
he ran
forget
off with it.
That their own prophet, Tim, their own prophet was a caravan robber. He was a caravan robber as well. So, yes, indeed.
But yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at the comments in this particular article, and I'm going to drop this article into the chat room, I think, because it's just too good to miss. But one of the comments that's in the chat room is, I wonder if that's his real name. I suspect it probably isn't, but there we go. His real name is probably Bob or something like that. I haven't got I haven't got to that part of the story yet, but I just thought that was too good to miss, so I thought I'd drop it into the chat room and give everybody a bit of a laugh.
Okay.
So anyway,
you know
that's
Tim, thank you very much. It's an absolute brilliant story. Thank you so much, Tim. But we've had someone that's been hanging around for a little time. I've got to thank you, Delstar, for holding on and for us to take your call. And with that, without further ado, I'm going to pass it over to you. Good evening and welcome to the show. Go ahead, Delstar.
Hi, everybody. Hi, all.
Hello, Delstar. Yeah, nice to hear you.
Good to have you.
Hi, Delstar.
All right, I'm not going to say too much. I was actually, I'm just meta in the chat room. I was metaphysics in the chat room. Regarding the Salda thing with the oil thing, saying they've got a lot of interest over here. We also have a lot of interest. This country also has a lot of interest over there. We build planes for them, and we give them a lot of technology. So, to be fair, it can be done both ways on that particular front. I would just say to me personally, I think war itself in its present form would not help either country. So I think my issue is the issue with violence is the fact that violence, as we know, never actually works. People just end up being murdered and dead, and it just means there's more bloodshed. So for me, I think the Saudis have a responsibility, as well as our government, to do things in a completely different way. But the problem is that the politicians are a joke, and we all know that, because
yes.
Malcolm X said it best. If it doesn't work, if you leave it alone. My issue is there's no point even bothering with this system, because in its current form, it just doesn't work, as we know. So we'd have to have something completely different, and
yes.
That's the only way you get anything going forward. The people essentially...
It's great to take your call, Delsa. I mean, your view, how would you think that we could, maybe put these certain people under pressure? Would you say it's about removing the government we've got before us and the things that the way, the Labour, the Conservative, maybe we need a whole different way, a new direction forward, which I've often talked about on the show. Your views, Delsa?
This will be done quickly. Okay, my issue is, you're supposed to have a constitutional monarchy where you're supposed to have a queen, right? Now, what form of government do they always talk about?
Are we talking about in this country? Are we talking
yes,
about in the UK?
Yes, I'm calling from the UK at the moment. I'm in England, so yes.
All right, so what you're saying is we are supposed to have a constitutional
monarchy, but what form of government do they always keep telling you we've got?
Well, they keep telling us we have a democracy.
Right, that's the problem. A demonocracy, not a constitutional monarchy. Right, so the problem is you've got a proper form of government we're supposed to have, which is a constitutional monarchy, which is supposed to uphold the common law, which the Queen's meant to uphold the common law, which is injury, harm or loss. Nothing to do with commerce. The problem is with this government, it's all about commerce, and it's a de facto government, not a de jure government. That's the problem. So these politicians who call themselves ministers clearly do not work for the people, because a minister works for a church and does not work for the people. So the issue is the whole system itself, as it's set up, is an illusional construct anyway, and the people have a responsibility essentially to do something completely different. Whether it's
a good valid point. Well
can
said
I
there,
can
Delta.
I just can I just interject there, Jeff? So
yes, certainly,
just to see if we're understanding this correctly. What you're saying is that the responsibilities of the people who should be looking after us in government have been the system has been corrupted because of commerce, because of, well, the Saudi petrodollar, I should think, is a big factor in that. And so because of that corruption, unless we change the entire system, we're unlikely to get very far. Is that how I understand you?
You're absolutely standing under and absolutely correct.
Because the
commerce is what's running the system. And so the money is what's running the people. So this is why, and I'll show you how this is done. Because, again, and this is tied in with money. Now, let's break the word down, money. So you've got money, and if you break the money down, you've got the word moon in it, okay? We've got moon and A. So you've got moon A. So I call it moon eye. Now, what controls the seas around the planet? What controls the seas?
Well, I think you're getting a bit metaphysical on
this.
Yeah,
it is, but that's about it. It's fact. But it's fact. It makes itself clear. What controls the seas?
Well, I hesitate to say that the control of the seas by the moon necessarily
Correct.
Has anything to do with commercial corruption that we're seeing.
It does, because I've written that down and explained, but you're right. So, moon, the sea has currency. This is why money is called currency. You see, it's called currency. You can argue all you want, but that's the fact. It's called currency.
I'll tell you, it's a great theory, but I think we're stretching things here a little from a metaphysical point of view. I actually quite like your theory, and if we had more time and we could develop it a bit more, there might actually be something to be gained from it. But I can't help but feel that tying metaphysical things to political things is actually going to obscure what needs to be done rather than to clarify it. I mean, I don't mean to pull cold water on your ideas, but that's just my observation there. But nevertheless, I like the way you split the words down. That's something that I really like.
Yeah, and so basically what I'm saying, because it controls the sea of souls, meaning the people, the money controls the sea of souls. That's why that's why the Vatican has what's called the Holy See. But what I'm saying to you is that's how the people are controlled through commerce. And that's what it's about, your control for commerce. And the commerce is running, currently the commerce is running how these politicians work. It's all about the money, and we've been controlled. The money's been controlling the politicians rather than the politicians representing the people.
They do say that whenever you're going to try and analyse what's happening in politics, you should really follow the money. And from that point of view, I agree with you entirely. Our political system has been corrupted by money, by the Saudi petrodollar, and from that, you could certainly argue that all else follows. I quite like your metaphysical argument and the splitting down of words, but I think you're coming back to a point where I think we can all agree on, which is that the commercial corruption of our political system is at the heart of the troubles that we see. Because at the end of the day, it's not the fault of individual Muslims that come into this country.
No.
They were only responding to the economic conditions that they thought would be advantageous for them. The problem is that our political systems haven't controlled the situation, and they've allowed commercial considerations to overrule the needs of the indigenous people, and in fact the needs of the immigrants who have come into our country in good faith and have been put into a position where they have felt that they've got to take certain actions in order to protect themselves. And it's entirely down to money. I agree that money is a big part of it.
Maybe not
the whole story.
Not everything, but I agree.
No, it's not everything, but it's a big part of it. So I think you've actually made a very valid point there.
Yeah, I would agree as well. Delsar, I'd like to once again thank you for calling in, and I think we'd all agree that we need a whole new system. We've often spoke about this on the show. If you listen to shows, we've often said this, that what we've got before us, we need a total shake-up of putting people into power who would do the right things for the people of the country instead of the power hungry people out there that control the politicians, and I think we're all in agreement on that that aspect as well. So I'd like to thank you once again for your call tonight, and food for thought. And as I say, it's always great to take people's calls, and we can sort of digest different things. And basically, I think we've all come to the same conclusion that the politics system and the commercial side of things is corrupt, and we do know there's serious problems there, and it needs to be resolved. And it's the way we go about resolving it. It's putting people in power. It's putting people who speak on behalf of us all is what we need, and we need to have it done very soon. In the next few years, hopefully we can see
next Tuesday would be good. Next Tuesday would be good, Jeff, if you could manage it.
So with that, Delsar, I'd like to thank you once again for calling into the show. And please do call in again, because it's great actually taking your call this evening. Thanks so much. There you go. Some food for thought there, Tim and Kel. Kel, you was listening very intently there, wasn't you? But maybe some some words that you'd like to express what's just been talked about.
Well, I want to thank Delstar, first of all, for calling in. That was a very interesting conversation. And I was actually in the green room again, so I missed some of it. But I did catch what you were talking about, the petrodollar. And I'm actually just wondering what you think about what Delstar said about that.
Well, I think actually we've come to the conclusion that there is a problem with the politics and the commercial side of things in this country that does need to be addressed. And we do, as we've often said, there does need to be a total shake-up with the way things are done in this country, instead of these the power-hungry people just working for themselves. They should be working for the people of the country, all of us, not just these exclusive few. So that's how I would like to end that part of the that conversation, Kel. So Tim, I think that sums it up, what we digested there.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he had an interesting way of expressing how he felt that the political processes were working in this country. And to start with, I couldn't quite get the hang of it. But then as he talked, I realised that he was using the power of analogy in order to get to the point which we all come to eventually, which is that commerce or business or the petrodollar corrupts the political system. And it was quite interesting to see how different people reach the same conclusion by different paths. So I'm really glad he called in. So thank you, Del. So if you're listening, really glad you called in, because it was an interesting exercise.
And that's what we like, which is what I'm saying. It's a, it's a food of conversation and different the way that some of us look at things as well. But as you say, Tim, we all come to the same conclusion that it does need to be, that the whole political system needs to be shaken up, and we need something new to be put in its place that will take all of our concerns to hand. That's the way of that I look at it anyway. But so there you go. I think we've got another call. I'm not sure what this could be. I'm not sure, Tim. It could be Mr. Wahibi, but I'm not sure. Could be Wahibi from Spongistan. So I don't know. We got another caller there, Kel. Oh, Kel's gone into the green room. Oh, she. I was just going to play. But it could be. I don't know. I just got a feeling that we might be once again visited by Mr. Wahibi from Spongistan. And okay. I think it is. I think I've just seen his name up, but I think Kel's just having a quick chat in our green room. Maybe.
Right. While we're waiting for that, I did notice that Sarabella made a point about getting rid of the EU so that countries can control their own commerce. And that is something that we don't want to lose sight of, ladies and gentlemen. Much as we would like to institute new political procedures and have new political leaders here, we do have to release ourselves from the European Union before we can do anything, because at the moment we are hamstrung by the arrangements that we have between this country, the UK, and the European Union. And unless we get rid of that, we're going to have very little control over what we can do. So it's one of the first things that we have to do in order to bring back sanity to the political landscape. But before I elaborate on that, is there any news from Spongistan, Jeff?
I think I'm seriously sitting there patiently waiting, Carl. So I'm sure he's got some more information of what's been going on in Spongistan, this little country there. So with that, I'm going to bring him on. Mr. Wahibi, welcome back to the English Defence League's radio show.
Wait a minute. Is Wahibi here? Oh, hang on. We've got something for him.
Allahu Akbar!
love that.
So there you go. I think that's a good welcome to the show there, Mr. Wahibi. So it's good to have you back once again on the English Defence League radio station. Go ahead. It's good to hear you. Good to have you back.
Hello. This is Wahibi here. And why don't you tell your listeners who Wahibi is?
Yes,
Wahibi.
Of course.
Yeah, would you like to do the honours, Tim?
Wahibi is becoming a regular listener here on Friday night at the EDL show, ladies and gentlemen. He comes from Spongistan, and he brings us a weekly update of what's happening in the wilds of Spongistan. And it's most interesting because what happens in Spongistan today could happen in the rest of the world tomorrow. So, Wahibi, what have we got happening in Spongistan today?
Yes, that's right. EDL listeners, I am the Wahibi here from Spongistan. We sponge from you and you stand for it. And we love you. So I have follow-up from last week, answers to questions. I have official announcements and Olympic report. And by request, I have information for last caller on this Friday night, Friday show. So I have four things, very, very brief four things, not to take up too much EDL time. Last caller, I have information for you. Economy, you talk justice things. So I say fair is fair is expression, tit for tat. And in a sponge stand, we say give to us, Jack. So that is my advice about economy. Talk about petrodollar, gold you cannot eat. Silver you cannot eat, but you can eat yak cheese, you can drink yak milk, and you can eat a yak. So just get back to the yak, Jack.
Yeah,
last caller's answer for him on Friday. So,
I would just like to say, Mr. Wahibi, you know, have you seen the slides to the show this evening? We've got David Cameron says, one man, one vote, one yak, one vote. What's it, Kel? How does it go? One man, one yak, one sled, one vote. That's,
that comes from the very interesting yak sled races that they hold in Spongistan on a regular basis. And I was most interested to hear about that from Wahibi last week, because I think there's a lesson for us all there. One yak, one man, one sled, one vote. And I think that should be instituted in this country as a matter of priority. So, yes.
Can you put back in the room, because I think we had some internet problem because Spongistan internet link goes through Ukraine, and we don't have, they have problem going. So
we'll have to reprocess that. Yes, of course.
So I continue, not take up time. I continue report. Yes. Follow-up last week is vacation, how you take vacation to Spongistan. Barge leaves Belfast first of every month. The metal barge leaves every first of month from Belfast, United Kingdom, goes to Spongistan. The trip one way is 12 days. 12 days. And you must pay a little bit money to enter country, but everything is free. And I talk about immigration from show is number two item. You talk about making ha-ha-hee-hee fun of people immigrating to your country. Official Spongistan immigration numbers, statistics says that Spongistan has 5% immigration. If Spongistan leave, Spongistan person leave, if they don't get killed, they make it to your country, not too many people. But we have 5% immigration into the country from Indonesia, Siam, and Hoboken, New Jersey to support our industry. So, and anyone who comes to Spongistan, no disapproved application, and everybody gets free yurt. Y-U-R-T, yurt.
Oh, yes, yurt, yes. Well, yeah,
so
that's
if you get
a
free
most...
house in the United Kingdom, you come to Spongistan, you get free yurt.
Yeah, well, I foresee a problem here, Wahabi, because when the residents of Birmingham hear about the great offers that are available to them if they emigrate from Birmingham to Spongistan, they are going to be queuing up at your borders to get their free yurts, their free sleds, and their free yaks. And before you know it, your country is going to completely run out of yurts, yaks, and sleds. Now, what do you think about that? That sounds like a really big problem for Spongistan once Birmingham residents get to hear about it.
Yeah, definitely.
I think I welcome Press Secretary. I talked to government of Spongistan, and I give you answer next week, but so far nobody gets turned away. Like, you know, America, they have the thing called Statue of Lady Liberty in Harvard with the big torch thing. Lady Liberty. Liberty. We have a different welcome statue in Harbor Spongistan. We have a big yak in the harbor.
Yeah.
He's standing on a stone on a cliff, a big yak. And so far, everybody is welcome, yes.
Does the yak have a torch, or is it sort of holding up a sled? I mean, you know, that would be quite appropriate, I would have thought. You could see it from miles around on the approach when you're coming into Spongistan on your barge. You could stand on the deck and say, I see that yak. And that sled, we must be approaching Spongistan. So I think, you know, it's important for us to know these things because otherwise the people on the barges may not realize that they're coming close to your country.
That's right. That's right. And remember, the big yak has, you call lighthouse yak in the harbor. And I must go because there's somebody behind me with a gun and saying a president wants to talk to me. So I just remember one more thing. Sponge for you, and you stand for it, and we love you. Goodbye.
Yes,
we love you too, Wahabi. We love you too,
Mr. Wahabi. I know that there's someone with a gun at your head, and I think he's gone. I think he had to go a bit quick because a man was pointing a gun at him and he had to go and visit the president. But once again, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard Mr. Wahabi from Spongistan.
Yeah, and I think the most important lesson to take away from this evening's show is let's get back to the Yak Jack. I think if we don't remember that, we'll be in trouble.
Yakety yak, don't talk back. Yeah, I like it, Tim.
Yeah, definitely. Let's get back to the
absolutely
yak-jack.
Awesome call. As usual, absolutely awesome. Mr. Wahabi from Spongistan, a sponge for us, and we take it.
I tell you what, Jeff, I've got a little story for you. I mean, when we talk about the gentleman from Spongistan, we've all got different pronunciations of his name. I mean, he pronounces it Wahabi. And I've heard at least two other pronunciations in here tonight. But it just reminds me of a little something. I was on another radio show the radio show will remain nameless in order to protect the innocent. but I had a lady on the radio show, and I was supposed to introduce her as having a degree in philosophy from the University of Pisa. And she was an Italian lady, and I was a bit flustered, and I said, we have a lady here with us tonight who's got a degree from the University of Pisa. And I didn't realize I said it, and she says, team, I have to say, my degree is actually from Pisa, not pizza. And I thought, oh, no, I didn't really... didn't really say that, did I? And I thought, because I nearly said to her, she's got a degree in mozzarella studies. I'm glad I didn't get that far. I put
classic.
It all down to the domino effect.
Oh, my goodness me, the jokes are coming in thick and fast this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're enjoying the show tonight, the English Defence League radio show. Sometimes, tonight we've been honoured to... we've had Delstar call in with great comments he's made earlier on. And, of course, Mr. Wahibi from Spongistan. Don't forget, they sponge from us and we take it. And he gives a report. And, of course, people wanting to visit the country, you will see as you go on the barge, isn't it? Where did you go, from Belfast? The barge
from Belfast. Was it every Monday,
every Sunday. And, of course, you will not be able to miss Spongistan because they've got a yak on it's on a large rock,
well,
isn't
it? It's either on a big sled at the edge of the harbour or it's holding a big sled. I didn't quite clarify that with Wahibi.
Yeah.
But either way, you should be able to recognise it from a fair old distance, I would have thought, because there's not that many 200-foot-high yaks that you see these days. even in the wonderful United Kingdom, I have to say it's been a while since I've seen a 200-foot yak.
No, I've got to admit, and it was great to hear him call in all the way from Spongistan to call into the show once again. He's becoming, we used to get having him on a Friday show now, and I was wondering where he was, and all of a sudden, there he was. He was there. So, but I think he had to go. As I say, someone is holding a gun to his head and he needed to talk to the president. But hopefully he will give us a report next week. I hope that...
Yeah, certainly hope so.
No harm comes to him because he was talking to us, the English Defence League Radio tonight. Well, you never
know. He's probably having his fingernails pulled out as we speak, Jeff.
Possible.
Oh dear, I shouldn't laugh,
tell?
Really.
You never know what happens in Spongistan, do you? But
no,
ladies
and
gentlemen,
right.
I hope you're enjoying the show this evening. As I say, we always get very interesting people that call in, and we haven't done too bad this evening. Kel, your thoughts for Mr. Wahibi, what he had to say?
Well, yeah, I wish that... the mic had been passed to me when he was on because we did have a question from the chat room for Wahibi. But
No. What was it?
Oh, goodness me.
Well, Eric Kyle from the chat room, he is practicing his sled racing and he wanted advice from Wahibi.
Oh, no. Oh, and we missed it. Oh, dear. Oh, that's awful.
Oh, no, I'm going to choke myself laughing now. Kels, Eric, what you like. Oh, well, you know what, Kel? We'll put that on hold, that question for Mr. Wahibi. And you can guarantee the world, as long as nothing happens to him tonight, because he was talking on the show, that hopefully we'll have him grace the studio once again next week, and maybe we will... make that comment to him about some finer points for Eric for his sled racing, for the yak sled racing. So there you go. So we'll put that on hold for next Friday, hopefully. So there you go, Kel. Right, I was going to say, my goodness me, we're coming up nearly to the top now. I was wondering if possibly we can go for a roll call because we've got a lot of good people that's sitting in
Absolutely.
The chat room this evening. So if it's okay with you, yeah?
Absolutely.
You,
once again, you have a very, very busy chat room and everybody is chatting back and forth and having a wonderful time. They certainly enjoyed Wahibi. And Wahibi, please do call back in next week because I do want to pick up on that question. I was frantically waving my hand, but I was lost in the weeds.
Sorry,
so
Kel.
If you can call in next week and give Eric Kyle advice on his sled racing lessons, we would very much appreciate that. But, Jeff, like I say, you have a very busy chat room. First of all, the host of the radio program of the English Defense League, of course, is Jeff Mitchell, and his panel this evening is me, Kel Fritzy, and Tim Burton of Liberty GB and Freedom Loving Infidels and RSV. We have Bigfoot joining us, and Bigfoot has a blog, and please, Bigfoot, put your blog in there in the chat room. Okay. Everybody, if you have a show or a blog, please post it in the chat room for everybody to download and save in their files. We have Blue Sky Jazz. We have Army British News. We have Sarah Bella, Dodgy Dave, Eric Kyle. We have numerous guests in here. We have Holger Awakens, and Holger also has a program right here on Blog Talk Radio, Saturday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and he also has his own blog. We have Metaphysics, Moving Forward, Stanger 73, My Voice. Stanger does the best voiceover work ever, so if you need anything done for your radio program, get in touch with Stanger because he is my voice on the Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, we have Vito Esposito. And Vito Esposito is mine and Tim's boss over there at the Radio Jihad Network. So Vito is always in fine form. But we have a lot of people that we have to thank that join us in other listening devices. We want to thank, of course, Delstar for calling in. We want to thank Wahhabi for calling in. And, of course, we always want to thank Sue from New Mexico, who always tweets the shows out and gets them out there. And there you go. I just want to make sure I've got everybody. I've got you and me and Tim, Bigfoot, Blue Sky, British News, Sarah Bella, Dodgy Dave, Eric Kyle, our guests, Holger Awakens, Metaphysics, Moving Forward, Stanger 73, Vito Esposito, and Wahhabi, Delstar, and Sufra New Mexico. So there you go, Jeff.
Oh, thank you. And thank you, everybody, for once again being in here and in the chat room. The chat room has been so busy again tonight. Everyone's chatting, dropping links in. Thank you all so much. It's really, really appreciated. And I've got to just make a little comment. Thank you all. And, of course, to all of our listeners out there, wherever you might be, thank you so much for tuning into the English Defence League radio show this evening. I've just had a quick chuckle to myself, and I think this is maybe a question that Eric would have liked to put towards Wahhabi. He says, I can't get me yet to stop farting in my face, Jeff. He's That's what Eric Kyle just said. He can't stop the yak from farting in his face. You know, I don't know what's going on there, but so that's a little problem. Maybe next week Wahhabi can maybe help out in that that problem, Kel and Tim. What do you think?
Kel?
Oh, we lost Kel.
Sorry, what was that? I'm getting a lot of really weird feedback right now. I'm getting a lot of clicking noises.
Oh,
I don't know if you guys are getting that.
No. I'm not getting anything here, Kel.
Sounds like somebody is on a Morse board.
Oh, it's probably just the NSA after you, Kel. I wouldn't worry about it too much. Just ask them if they could drop round a pizza or a curry for you when they've finished on their night shift tonight, and I'm sure they'll do it.
Yeah, it's really distracting. And plus, too, I'm in the green room, and I'm doing all sorts of things over here, and I'm getting all these really weird noises. So my apologies, ladies and gentlemen. That's probably why I was lost in the weeds, because it's very distracting, so my apologies, Jeff.
No problem, Kel. Yeah, no, you might have missed what Eric in the chat room said, that he can't stop his yak from farting in his face. And I thought maybe that would be the question.
Oh, that's a lot of hot air.
Yes, a lot of hot air. Great. Oh, I like it. He said that's the reason why it slows him down a little bit with the yak racing, because it's farting in his face, though. maybe next week we can maybe discuss that with Wahibi of what he should do for the best, because Eric's really interested in this yak race and he's taking it very seriously now. So,
I do hope that these yaks aren't being ill-treated in Spongistan. You know, I imagine that they're going to have a yak appreciation society at the very least, if not actually a royal commission for the prevention of cruelty to yaks. You know, I would think that would be the very, very least I would expect to see in an advanced civilization like Spongistan, whose main export, I see from Google, is rubble. So I think, you know, we should be told.
Exactly.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
You're right there, Kel.
Vito Esposito, he said, Kel, you're a real gas.
Oh, yes, it's
winds of
change. Comes back to the one line, it's definitely.
Oh, that's funny.
Vito
tells me that there is an association, and it's called the YAP. So that's got to be, what do we think, ladies and gentlemen?
Yes,
Yak Appreciation?
Party? I don't know.
Party, yeah, Yak Appreciation Party. In fact, I wouldn't be at all surprised if that isn't the predominant political party in Spongistan. Now, it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest.
Yeah, well, political parties like to yap a lot, don't they?
Indeed, it would be extremely appropriate. Well, hopefully we'll hear a bit more about that from Mr. Wahabi next week.
I've also got Eric making a comment again, Tim and Kel. I've got Eric Carr making a comment. Jeff, I want to help Britain win a gold in the Winter Olympics. We don't win too many medals. Jack racing.
Yeah, well, that's a very admirable ambition, I say. To Eric.
Well done, Eric.
I think, you know, Didn't we send, there was some ice skating couple I read about in the paper today, and they had a little bit of a to-do on the ice. The man threw his, in fact, they're an engaged couple, as I understand it, and the man threw his fiancée into the air and mistimed the throw, and she sort of landed on the ice. So, you know, for all we know, the engagement's off. But I don't think they did too well, which is a bit of a shame, because, you know, we like to see our Olympic contestants doing well, so you know I certainly don't wish them harm or bad luck in the Olympics.
No.
So I certainly hope we don't get what's been threatened with the Winter Olympics, with the threat of terrorism in that part of the world as well. I hope that that keeps off. But.
Exactly. I've got Vito. Vito's making a comment there. He said, hey, Kel, and I know this is a little joke here, but he's going, hey, Kel, did you see that? He said, ladies and gentlemen, have Vito saying, hey, Kel, when Russian Chechen fought, they were Putin. Oh, very good there, Vito. They were Putin.
Very clever, Vito. Very clever.
Very good.
I hope you guys can hear me okay. I'm still getting this really, really bad feedback.
Yeah, well,
and
you're
it's
coming
lost
over,
me in the weeds.
You're coming over loud and clear here, Kel. So your microphone's obviously fine. The problem it must be to do with your incoming audio in your headphones. But your voice is absolutely fine.
Yeah, absolutely fine here, Kel, as well. As I say, you're Radio 5 sound and... so we're not getting any interference, maybe like what you're getting. So I'm sorry to hear that you're having these issues this evening. I was going to say, we did discuss this earlier on. We just had a little Skype thing, but there's been something in the paper today. I don't care if you want to speak about this. That Liberty GB has said about the prison attack on Tommy Robinson. Maybe you'd like
to. Oh, yeah, Jeff. This is really quite devastating in that, and I'm just going to bring up the article for everybody right now, and my apologies. for doing that. I did bookmark it, and I just want to bring it up. Oh, yeah. This is from Paul Weston of Liberty GB. And full disclaimer, I produce for – well, I don't produce. I just act as a flunky over there for Liberty GB.
Kel, you're too modest.
Tim Burton.
Kel does a terrific job when she helps out on the radio show. She really does. She helped out with all sorts of technical issues last night and facilitated the call from Bill Warner into the show. So I was very grateful to have her as my – we designated it as a silent co-host. But really, I would have had a lot of trouble if she hadn't been there. So thank you, Kel.
She's a great wingman, Tim. She's a great wingman. That's what I always used to call Kel. Always had done it, okay.
Yeah, but I went to Liberty GB as I do every single day because I love that site. I love Liberty GB. Mm. And Paul Weston had posted an article, and he had wrote the Home Secretary regarding Tommy Robinson being attacked, and he posted the link to the story. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to post both links in the chat room for you, Jeff. But happened is that the English Defense League founder, Tommy Robinson, was beaten up inside prison. Now, the IBT Times UK, they understand that the ex-leader of the group was attacked by up to three men inside the HMP Whithill. Now, Tommy Robinson is 31 years old. He's a father of three, and he sustained bloody injuries to his face, but he did not have any broken bones, thank goodness. But he was verbally threatened before the attack, which was the first assault since he was convicted of mortgage fraud. We're all aware of that. That's public knowledge, so that's not anything that we hide, of course, because it's public knowledge. But he was being taken for a legal visit and was then put in a room with these three guys. The door was locked and the warders all disappeared. And for our North American listeners, warders are more or less the trunkies. He had quite a few injuries to his face and neck, and he needed two visits to the medical wing. The source said his attackers were Muslim prisoners but could not be verified. Robinson suspects the situation was engineered by the warders because of the obvious threat posed to him by opponents of the English Defense League. He fears he is a marked man inside the Category A prison. The source said Tommy feels it was done deliberately and the warders were not exercising the duty of care to him. And Paul Weston of Liberty GB, he wrote a letter to the Home Secretary in which he said, "I am horrified to read that Stephen Yaxley-Ledden, prisoner number A2084CG, has apparently been attacked whilst in the care of the HMP Whithill. I refer you to the story," and that's the story I just cited for your listeners, Jeff. "I appreciate this may not be a reliable source of information, but the assumption is it is. It would seem HMP Whithill is in clear dereliction of duty regarding the safety of prisoners under its jurisdiction. It is entirely possible this attack was part of a premeditated attempt to intimidate any person attempting to emulate Mr. Lennon's career with the English Defense League, which is clearly the hallmark of, this is a hallmark of a totalitarian and corrupt state. I am sure, as a conservative who values democracy and freedom, that you share my concern about this awful incident. Could you please clarify the situation here? Is it true Mr. Lennon was attacked? If so, who is responsible for allowing this to happen, and what action will be taken against them? Finally, can you please provide some reassurance regarding the steps you would be taking in order to prevent such an attack happening again?" And that is from Paul Weston, chairman of the Liberty GB. There you go, Jeff.
Yeah, and it's only right that, yes, we know Tommy's he's banged up, and we do know there was a story going back a little while that he could counter sort of some sort of problems in that direction. And it seems like this has come to pass, Kel. That the thing that's the most worrying thing about the story is it seems like these Walders had locked Tommy in the room or the cell, wherever it might be, with these three, and it does seem it's a bit can't speculate too much, but it does seem it was like three Muslims that was locked in with Tommy, and it looked like they took their done an attack on him. I mean, but we're just purely speculating because we don't know the true facts. Until we do, we can only purely speculate. It's mentioned there that these was Islamic in nature of the attack. So if that's the case, and the prison officers have not been doing their job, I would agree with Paul totally that this should be taken up by the Home Office, by the Home who's in charge, and to look into this, because this shouldn't happen. You're supposed to be in custody, and in custody you should have the protection of the forces around you. And that's not the case with Tommy Robinson in this occasion. What can we say about it? It's bad in its nature that prison officers locked the door and let these people go about attacking Mr. Robinson. It's disgusting. Tim, your views?
Well, I think as Kel was saying earlier on, we don't actually know the full story behind it yet, but I always work from the principle of what is most likely. And I think that what is most likely is that the prison staff were complicit in setting up the attack on Tommy Robinson. I'm assuming that there was an attack and this isn't just a story that has come out of nowhere, because we do hear an awful lot about how the prisons are supposedly under the control of Muslim gangs and so on. What that really means is that the prison staff do not have the moral fibre to exercise their duties that they are supposed to undertake for the protection of the prisoners that are in their custody. If prison staff are saying, "Oh, Muslims are running the prison," what that is basically saying is that the prison staff are not doing their job. Because if you have, all right, say you've got 1,000 men and 200 prison officers, for example, you ought to be able to exercise a reasonable level of control on everything that goes on inside that prison. I'm speaking from experience here because about 15 years ago, my partner at that time was in fact the personal secretary of a prison governor in the Midlands. I can't say which prison it was, but because of that, I've got a reasonable knowledge of what goes on inside prisons and what should happen. And if a prisoner is put into a locked room with three other men who are hostile to him, then that doesn't happen by accident in a prison. That happens by design. And if prison warders are culpable in this kind of situation, then they should be severely disciplined and they should face criminal charges. And
exactly.
I work on the principle of what is most likely, and that's the most likely scenario that I can see. That
to quickly interject, and that Dodgy Dave just let us know that Tommy has since been moved from Class A, and he is now in he's in Class C now, which is a more protected wing of the prison. So let's thank goodness for that.
Okay. Yeah, thank goodness. Dodgy Dave was saying it was a holding room for prisoners who were waiting to see their legal reps. He was locked in with three Muslim converts. So There you go. So it's just the story that's unfolding, the different things that we're getting about this story, ladies and gentlemen. But as I say, we can't speculate too much because we haven't got the whole true facts in front of us, just different pages that's been out there. But until we will report, and if we do hear anything for our future shows, then we will probably come back and we will revisit this story, because it is a very worrying very worrying type to what's gone on. But as you say, that he's been moved to Category C, but that means he's in confinement. He's basically, I think he's locked up, a 24-hour lock-up or something like that, isn't it? Something like that, if it's Category C.
It would be 23.
It will be 23,
yeah.
Probably 23 days with an hour for exercise.
Yeah,
23 hours, for exercise. Sorry about that.
Yeah, what happens, and I'm only speaking on my knowledge of Canadian law, and some people know that I took some courses of Canadian law when I was at school. But what happens when you're put in protective custody, you are in isolation and you're only allowed out 1 hour a day. So he would be facing 23 hours a day in an isolated cell. So.
Call it 23-hour bang-up. That's what he said, referred to it before, isn't he? So, yeah, it does seem that being a victim, he's still come under, that sort of way that things work in his country. He was attacked and his face was bloodied, as you say. There was no bones broke. Of course, it does seem for his own protection, they've put him in solitary confinement, so 23 hours bang up. So what happened? I wonder what happened to the people that done the crime, attacks,
well, on the article, if I remember, Jeff, it said there was a prison spokesman who said that we take a very severe view of violence in our prisons, and anybody found guilty of committing such violence will be dealt with severely. Oh, really? What are you going to do? Look them up. That'll be an excellent idea.
Stop them watching the television for a day or so, probably. That's
from my experience, I've never actually, I shouldn't speak too soon here, ladies and gentlemen. I was going to say I've never actually been behind bars in the British legal system, but that situation might change about 12 days' time. I haven't got a great deal of faith in the British legal system because of what I know from the time that I spent with the personal secretary of a prison in the Midlands, and it is a fact that you can have the best regime in the world, but if you've got corrupt warders, they can undermine that quite easily. And it sounds to me as though they had, in this case, they had some corrupt warders, because nobody should be put into that situation where they can get beaten up by three people in the same room. And you can't tell me that they wouldn't have known that that was likely.
Yeah, and Dodgy Dave, he is being so helpful in the chat room. He's been transferred to a different prison altogether. He is now at HMP Winchester, and so he's away from harm. Dodgy Dave, thank you so very much for posting all that in the chat room.
For the information there. So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, yes, he's been transferred from another prison now, away from that one. So hopefully he won't be experiencing the same issues as what he had in this other prison, which was rather complacent towards Sharia law, by the sounds of it. That's the way it's out. I don't know, Tim, it just comes across that Sharia law was like being enforced. Lock him in there with them, they run the prison, basically, blah, blah, blah. You can imagine the way that they sort things out there. And, of course, Tommy could have ended up, more than just a few cuts and bruises. I mean, he could have ended up bloody dead, let's be honest, guys.
Oh, yeah, it's not unheard of.
Oh, yeah, I mean, these were three thugs on him, and what if they had hit him the wrong way? What would have happened? Oh my God! My heart goes out to Tommy and his family, because he is a father of three little children. He's a young man, and what he's doing for England, what he did for England in 2009, and that he started the English Defense League of Movement, him and Kev Carroll. We can never forget that. And for this to be shoved upon him is just beyond the pale with me. It's just my heart bleeds for him.
Carol, I've just noticed the dodgy diver. Thanks, Dave. He's put Tommy's his prison number in there, and the address. If anybody wants to write to Tommy, please do. It's Steve. Should we say it openly?
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? I also want to thank Blue Sky because she has been sending postcards to Tommy as well. But if you want to, ladies and gentlemen, you can write Stephen Yaxley Lennon, A2084CG, HMP Winchester, Romsey Road, Winchester, S0225. DF. And what I'll do, Jeff, is I'll put that in the R Fox blogger. I don't even know what to call my blog anymore because it was messed up. Oh, and Blue is a bloke. Sorry, Blue.
Blue, thank you so much. It's good to see you here, and also Eric. And Dodgy Dave for all the little things you've been doing in the chat room this evening about that story. And because we used to say we're all thinking of Tommy at his hour in need, that he's got his young family and no one should be treated that way. You do the time, but you don't expect to do your time and have these caranimals attacking you willy-nilly, and the wall just turning their backs. Absolutely disgraceful, ladies and gentlemen. And I think most of the listeners would agree it's wrong. Something needs to be done about to stop this sort of behaviour. But you know what? I can't believe it. Once again, Kel and Tim, we are down. We're down about, what, five minutes left of the show? It's just been an amazing show tonight.
It's been busy.
It has. I'm sorry that I was losing myself in the weeds. I'm still getting a lot of this awful feedback, so my apologies, gentlemen, for that. But,
no problem, Kel.
Yes, Jeff. Fantastic show, Jeff and Tim. Wow.
Oh.
Well, let's...
I'm sorry you're having trouble with the feedback, but hopefully it's only temporary. Jeff, I was speaking over you there.
No, that's okay. I would agree with everything you just said, Tim. Once again, sorry, Kel, that you've been experiencing these technical problems tonight.
It's been going on all week.
Dear.
Like I say, that I couldn't even get to my own show on Wednesday, and that's Mike Holt's radio program called Restore Australia. I couldn't even get there. I couldn't get into Block Talk Radio all evening, and it's not the fault of Block Talk Radio. It's a fault on my end. So no reflection on Block Talk Radio. It's just that, I'm having a... It would appear that I need to get my brother over here and get things cleared up for me because
it's maddening.
And I'm sure he'll sort
it out like he's done before, Kel. I'm sure that would be the thing. Maybe a few things need to be removed or something like that. So once again, Kel, but you've done fantastic. Even though you've had technical issues tonight, great slides as usual. Quite funny, actually, some of the slides. Thank you very much. Tim.
Hey, who's going to Sochi with me? Eric Kyle, he says all that snow is getting
Tim
to your internet.
Now, once again, I'd like to thank you, the both of you, for all the great things that you've done with the show this evening. And of course, Kel, for the technical things that you do and keep me informed of exactly what's going on in the chat room and that. So once again, we're I've got about 2 minutes, guys. So Tim, your final thoughts for the evening, and Kel, I'm going to leave you for the final thought. We've got 90 seconds. Go on, guys, go for it.
Oh, right, okay. Well, The story, the main story, well, no, we've had several stories tonight, all of which have been interesting, and I think everybody who's contributed has made a very informative and entertaining and interesting contribution, and especially the callers who dialed in, Delstar and Wahabi. Wahabi in particular, I'm looking forward to seeing again next week with the latest update from Spongistan. And yes. Over to you, Kel.
Tim, I hope you don't mind. I've got to cut you off because I've got 60 seconds now, brother. Okay, so,
okay.
Kel, just a couple
I just want to
words.
Say
sorry.
No
sorry.
Surrender ever, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll see you back here on Sunday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Greenwich Mean Time. Jeff and Tim,
thank you so
it was
much.
A, it was
yeah,
a blast.
It's been great. Absolutely. And with that, guys, I've got to do it. I've got to press the button. And then guess what? We are going underground. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, good night, everybody.
Pleasure as a hate me, I've been enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me, I'm too busy dodging green and black. See, here's what you get, you made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your lead and don't place your trust, and the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns, and the public wants what the public gets, but I don't give up.
Once again, Tim and Kel, we are into archives. So there you go.
How's the how's your feedback now, Kel? Is it any different?
No, it's still really weird, and I hope that this does not interfere with the archive. I don't think it will, because you gentlemen are not hearing it. And,
no, we're not hearing it at all, no.
No.
Yeah, if you're not hearing it, yeah. It's strictly my end then. So it should be, as G. Ski would say, it's all good, all gravy for you guys.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, very, very, very good, Kel. As I say, it's a bit off-putting for yourself. As you say, you've been having experiencing this problem this week, most this week. So hopefully, I know your brother's great with computers. I'm sure that this problem, he will resolve it for you, and at least you'll have the more of a pleasant experience listening and doing your shows and doing what you normally do. But I got, well, once again, we've had a very interesting evening tonight. Del Star, he raised some very interesting, put some really serious thoughts in my head, what he was saying there. It's very interesting, I've got to admit.
Well, he was certainly taking a novel approach, wasn't he? I think that's what
certainly.
I would say.
Yeah,
but the thing is, I mean, he obviously had a concern, and it was just the way he was expressing it that I thought was slightly unusual. But he was coming around to the same conclusion that we all come around to. That was the interesting thing, even though he was going there in quite an unusual way and using
around the bush, wasn't it, Tim?
Well, I mean, he was getting into the metaphysical, and he was also making play on words in between currents, like currents of the sea, and currency. Okay, now that only works in English, and the same with moon and money. You know, that only works in English. And where you've got universal concepts, I think it's sometimes a little misleading to sort of break them down into play on words. But nevertheless,
he just muddled the waters up. That's what you're saying, Rita.
I think when you're talking about politics, it's only too easy to muddy the waters. I mean, what we try and do on this show is try and bring a little bit of clarification, because there are so many people out there who have a vested interest in keeping those waters muddied, because when those waters are muddied and nobody can make sense of it, most people will look at it and say, oh, I can't be bothered with this, and they'll go away and do something else, which is what a lot of people with those vested interests want. But it's people like us that look for clarity, look for answers, and are prepared to dig and dig and dig until we find the answers that we want, and then we explain them to other people. I mean, we're the really dangerous people out there as far as the vested interests are concerned. And you moved on to the topic just before the close of the main part of the show with Tommy Robinson and how he was being mistreated in prison. And again, I think what this shows is that there are vested interests out there that are very, very keen to show people who might want to step up to the plate and step into the spot where Tommy Robinson was, that if you do, you can expect a very rocky ride from the authorities. And they have the power, without doubt, to make your life complete misery if they want to. They can withdraw police protection and leave you open to attacks by Muslim thugs, and that's whether you're inside...
quite a few occasions when he
that's whether you're inside or outside of prison. They can take away your businesses and the ability to support yourself financially. They can make your life miserable in all sorts of ways. And I think what they want is for it to be seen as a sign to people who might be thinking of stepping up to the plate that
this is what will happen to you if you step out of line, if you oppose us. This is how uncomfortable life can be for you. Look what's happened to Mr. Tommy Robinson. And this is what they are sort of putting the threat down. Look, this is what will happen. Guaranteed, this is what happened.
Yeah.
But guess what? You people out there, you think that you can intimidate and do all this. Guess what? A lot of us just, you know, we're going to put up with so much, and you're going to feel the heat yourself at one time. Guarantee it. Because we know that people listen to the show. You are going to feel the heat. You think that this is all going to be one-way traffic. We can guarantee you, who might be listening to this show, that it will come back and haunt you in the near future.
I think it's worthwhile at this point, Jeff, saying that it's a good idea to look back in history and see what happens to regimes that try and suppress the truth. They can only do it for so long, and then what eventually happens is the truth bursts through like water bursting the dam. And when that happens, woe betide those people who have been part of the process of suppressing the truth and allowing these evil things to overtake our civilization, because they will be held to account.
The traitors in our midst. Traitors that speak openly on a political platform, openly betraying the people of this country, the people of this nation, day in, day out, lying to everybody so as they can keep themselves in power, feather their own nest. This is the type of people that they think that they can go unopposed and that they can go quietly, as you said, Tim, quietly into the background on their big fat pension, and they think they can just, that's it. Well, guess what? It will come back. There will be a time, there will be a day where people like you, Cam, and people like you, Clegg, and all the people that's betrayed the people of this country will stand trial. Guarantee. That day will come in the future. So be aware that, you know, there's only so much the great people of this country will put up with. And your reign
will soon come to an end. How do we stop this? How do we stop the voting bloc? Like, that's how these people get in. It's due to voting blocks, and Paul Weston brought that up on the program not too long ago, this week with Tim and myself. It's the voting block. How do we prevent vote? It's voting blocks. That's what it is. It's not even so much
what
the politicians
we do all the time
anymore.
Tell
it
yourself.
Is.
Yeah.
It's the demographics.
Exactly. It most certainly is, Kel. And it's what you're doing. And what Tim's doing, what I do, what other great people, Blog Talk Radio hosts doing all the time. This is the way forward. The power of the internet is what brings down regimes. We've seen it. And, you know, that's all we can do. Is we're still getting the word out. 95% of this nation wants to hear what we've got to say within the English Defence League. That's quite obvious that now... people are making their voices heard. And we must just continue. We must be relentless. We must never take one step back from what we're all doing.
Well, we have to be effective in that we expose these scourges for what they are. And that, too. Like, in Canada, for example, we have a saying. It's called, Toronto voted in our next Prime Minister of Canada. It's the voting bloc. This is something I brought up yesterday when I talked about citizenship, granting citizenship, in that we withhold it for a number of years because if you're not a citizen, you cannot vote. These people, these immigrants, the caliber of immigrants that we're getting, believe it or not, Muslims tend to vote liberal because liberals are dhimmis and they grant the Muslims anything they want. That's why we're ending up with all of these front groups, these special interest groups. It's because liberal politics grant them. And this is what we have to combat. I'm sick and tired of the bloc voting. I don't know how to stop it. I don't know if I can in my lifetime, but all we can do is just expose what is going on and inform the people what is going on. As a matter of fact, my show tonight, I'm centering around an issue about Islamic enclaves in Canada, and there is an enclave that is going to be established in Thornhill, Ontario. Canada, and Thornhill is predominantly a Jewish neighborhood. Yeah, and what they're doing is that they're building social housing projects designed for Muslims only. Yeah, this is, and the Ontario government is allowing this. And I might have Mayor Weinstein, the leader of the Jewish Defence League Canada, on my program tonight. I'm not too sure, but this is it. This is exactly what we're facing. I don't want a Tower Hamlets in Canada. We have enough enclaves. Thank you very much. We do not want the Islamic influence eroding our communities. We absolutely do not want that. But with these politicians, Tim and Jeff, this is what we get. You get what you vote for, and we have to start turning around the opinion in the mind of a singular human being is what we have to do. I can sit here and I can espouse all day about the evils of Islam, but who's going to listen to me unless I have salient points to bring to the table and convince people that, no, this is not what we want. We dodged a bullet in Ontario a few years back under the premiership of Dalton McGuinty when he wanted to introduce Sharia courts. And we stood up and we said, not a chance, not happening, not on our watch. But we are dangerously close to losing our communities with enclaves.
Yeah, I agree. It's very worrying times, but we must be optimistic in our approach, and we must continue what we've been doing and be relentless. With like Tim, with what he does, with yourself, Kel, you're relentless. I'm relentless, and there's lots of good people out there who will not, never sort of take a step back. And we know it's the only way, because we know, guys, Islam does not sleep, and we know that there's dark powers around who's facilitating them, that's helping them. We know that we've got quite a big struggle, but we will prevail over evil, goodness. And the light of the goodness will always overcome the darkness of evil. And I've always said that. I'll continue to say that as well. Your view, Tim?
Well, I think you're absolutely right to be optimistic, Jeff. I mean, I take a similar view, but for slightly different reasons. I mean, yes, I do believe that eventually goodness and light overcomes evil and darkness. But when we're talking about what's likely to happen in practical terms here, I'm equally, if not more, optimistic, because I think we have a window of opportunity open to us that our forefathers and ancestors never had, because we have the internet. And I've made this point many times before on the various radio shows that we've been on. We have the opportunity to dispel the fog and confusion that surrounds the encroachment of Islam into our country. If it weren't for the internet, we would probably still be thinking of Islam as a benign, tolerant and peaceful religion. It's only because we have the internet that ever increasing numbers of people throughout the West, not just in the UK, but throughout the West, are starting to understand what really lies behind Islam's political agenda, because it's first and foremost, as we know, a political ideology rather than a religion. And once you understand that, then things start to fall into place. And it's necessary to bring that knowledge.
A lot of people are waking up as well, Tim, aren't they?
Yeah, it's necessary to bring that knowledge to people.
Yes.
Yeah, it's necessary to bring that knowledge to people so that they do wake up, and they do then translate that waking up and that knowledge into action through the political process. I'm hoping that eventually, and I hope, well, I'm pretty confident that it will happen, that because of what we are doing, that is all of us that are in the counter-jihad movement, whether it's on Blog Talk Radio, on Twitter, on Facebook, other forms of social media, websites and blogs and so on, we will overcome the stranglehold that's been on the dissemination of information via the mainstream media for probably the past 50 years or so. We'll overcome it because nobody can control the flow of
the
information.
Mass.
That we are currently taking advantage of. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We have a huge advantage. So I'm optimistic.
Yeah.
You're optimistic. We're optimistic for slightly different reasons, but I think we've both got an equal reason to be optimistic when it comes to overthrowing this encroachment that Kel talks about, with the scourge, which is
I love that word.
Yeah.
Scourge. Kel,
when it comes to overthrowing
that word into our dictionary, it's got to be in our dictionary. The scourge, it's a great word, isn't it? Kel, your thoughts.
Well, we're certainly
putting it in
our thesaurus, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's up there with mendacious, grievance-mongering taquilla artists, isn't it?
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's right.
I love it.
Tim, did you notice the slides in the show today?
Did I notice the slides? Yes, I did. One man,
one yak,
one sled,
one vote. And David Cameron, that face of his was absolutely hilarious, Kel. Fantastic job once again. Yeah, I mean, Kel sent me a yak thing on my Facebook page, and I just was cracking up laughing. It's been so funny. Fantastic. Thank you, Kel. But I was going to say, I know you've got your show. I was going to say, Kel, could you do me a big favour? Could you put that on my Facebook page so that I can just click on it and I'll be in the listen to some... Well, I'll listen to about half hour the show this evening, because I know you've got an interesting guest on your show, so I'd like to listen to a little bit of that before I descend to my bed. So, thank you. It sounds very interesting.
Oh, I absolutely will. No problem.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
But what I'm going to do, Kel, as I say, I'm looking forward to just listen to probably about half hour of the show. I hope you don't mind, Kel, and I will catch up with the rest tomorrow afternoon when I return, because I've got to go in to do my normal things in town. So I'll be probably listening to the other half of the show tomorrow afternoon. So I'm looking forward to it anyway. But, Tim, as I say, I'll do me a favour, Tim. On the Skype thing, could you put the Liberty GB, the show that you had the other day, please? Could you do that for me, Rob?
Sure, I'll do that. No problem at all.
Thank you, mate.
In fact, where are we? I had it on one of my tabs. I'll find it. I'll put it on there. Don't worry
about
that.
Yes, please, mate, because I wanted to, because I haven't had a chance
to
have a good listen.
Oh, and just to let people know that... Tim's show with Liberty GB did quite well.
Yeah,
lots
well, I'm not
archive
no, I'm not.
All right, okay, yeah, that's right. Where did he get to, Kel?
Page 2.
Hey,
awesome.
How about that?
There you go. Well, am I surprised? No,
yeah.
I'm not. We got some fantastic radio. You're becoming quite an established great radio host in your own rights now, Tim. You've definitely spreading your wings and you're doing your thing, like Kel. It's an honour and privilege to be around really good people like yourself, Kel, and other great people, Tommy. Everybody is so tuned into what we're doing. It's just a fantastic time for us all. We're all in this together, aren't we? We stand show, although I don't stand shoulder to shoulder. I probably stand up to your knee or something or other like that, but normally most of us stand shoulder to shoulder.
Well, I think it's fair to say that 2014 is going to be an interesting year from the counter-jihad point of view.
Oh, yes, it is.
I've seen quite substantial changes in the time that I've been involved with Blog Talk Radio, and I've only been involved with Blog Talk Radio since last August, so that's about 6 months. And I've already got the feeling that things are changing quite rapidly. People seem to be much more clued in, and they pick up the concepts more readily that we talk about. You frequently see people in the chat room, and they're not just saying, oh, Islam is bad, Muslims are bad. They are putting in informed comment in the chat rooms, comment that you can look at and you can identify with. And people are definitely understanding. You get a feel for it. There's definitely a greater understanding out there than there was even 6 months ago. And I feel that understanding is going to increase exponentially.
So that's why I say
I'm optimistic. I see all the exponentially.
Signs. It's like that old shampoo commercial from the 1970s. Tell a friend, and so on, and so on, and so on. We are increasing the awareness exponentially, and we have to keep going. That's why I always say to Tim, it's not a race to the top. It's a race to inform. And it's reassuring that our radio programs are getting out there and people are paying attention because people are hungry for news. Jeff, that's why the EDL radio show is so popular in North America in particular, is because we're hungry for news coming out of the UK, Jeff and Tim. We're hungry to know what's going on because we see what's going on there and we want to avoid that. And when Paul Winston was on...
This is what we say. We don't want you having the same situation that what's been put upon us with a lackadaisicality of our politicians. Lackadaisicality, is that the word, Tim? Lackadaisicality.
You're thinking of lackadaisical. That's what
lackadaisical.
We don't want to be complacent.
I mean, we don't want to be complacent, and this brings us back pretty much a full circle, and I can wrap it up in a bow, in that we have to watch the voting block. We have to be mindful of that. And when I discussed yesterday about citizenship, we have to defer citizenship to people arriving on our shores for a number of years. They can't just arrive here and a year later apply for citizenship, because these are the caliber of immigrants that we're getting, and that they bring their baggage over. But they also see a leeway in which they can exploit our constitutions. And when they find a liberal like George Galloway, who will never get rid of because he has a voting bloc, but if they don't assimilate, we have to, that is the problem. We have to do something about that. Defer citizenship to these people.
Yeah, can I say? I think myself and Tim would 100% agree with that statement you made there. The thing about it is, like last night, when Agador was talking with us, and he said, how much he's learned listening to this show, and just listening to what we're saying. And he talks to people, he's been talking to people, people talk to other people. And this is, as you say, Tim, this is the way that the word gets around, people talking to other people. And that's what
we
all said.
Yeah. You should never underestimate that, because, as I was saying to Bill Warner, I think it was yesterday, and he was saying that he's just one guy starting up a project, but the point to be made is that great oaks come from little acorns, and every great idea, every great movement, in fact, in history, started off as an idea in the head of one person, and
that's right.
I feel we've got that kind of situation arising now. We may only be at the start of the process, but it's a process that is going to gather momentum. It's not going to go backwards. It's going to gather momentum exponentially, because people will see that we have the truth on our side, and eventually we will have enough people in order to make a difference. It's something where you've got to look in history and see what's happened in similar situations, and it won't happen overnight, but eventually people will twig what is needed in order to make change happen. And because of the internet, I think that will come sooner rather than later. And yes, all right, the internet is something that can be used by our enemies as well. But the thing is, we have truth on our side. What when we go out and we talk to people about it, we don't have to lie about what's going on. We've got the truth. But of course, if our enemies go out and talk about Islam, they have to do so in terms where they're spreading lies and deceit, and eventually that will be seen through. So I'm optimistic, as I say. What more can I say?
Yeah.
I'm optimistic.
And they all,
and I think I've got every right.
Like
to
with lies, with Takiya, that those sort of people will
my
always
favorite
be found
subject.
Out.
My favourite subject at the moment, Takiya. By the time the next 10 or 12 days have gone past, I'm going to be an absolute expert on Takiya. You will be able to hire me out by the hour to talk in church halls about tequila. I promise you that, and I'll do you a discounted
rate.
Ladies
and gentlemen,
as well,
if you listen to the show, it's not tequila. We don't mean the alcohol. We mean tequila, as in the art of lying and the Islamic.
Oh, no,
Islamic,
I was talking about tequila.
Tequila!
Who's going to have the worm? Tim, do you want the worm?
Oh, living tequila worm. Don't talk to me about them. I ate one of them when I was in Mexico one time.
Oh, Tim, you did not.
I did. I was told that it was the most important part of any tequila drinking ceremony was you had to eat the worm. So I did.
Yeah.
And I wish I hadn't, to be quite honest, but there you go.
Oh, really?
You live and learn.
Was it chewy?
It was chewy. It was chewy, but I couldn't refuse without losing
the
taste.
Taste of it, really, didn't it?
Tim went to the garden and he ate some worms.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
I remember exactly where I was.
I was in Nuevo Laredo on the border between Texas and Mexico. And I just crossed over the border from Texas to Mexico, and I was being shown around this little seedy side street with this bar in it, and the guys who were showing me around said, "Oh, right, now you've got to eat a tequila worm. It's all part and parcel of the great Mexican experience." Oh, is that right?
And of course, him being, you know, he's thought, well, why not? Why not? Let's Rome, do as the Romans do. Yeah,
well,
that's our Tim.
That's exactly what I thought.
Absolutely. Oh, Tim, if you ever come to Canada, I'm taking you to Newfoundland so you can get screeched in.
Oh, is that right? I have a horrible feeling. I'm not going to enjoy it very much. What exactly is this?
Oh, no, you have to kiss. When you go to Newfoundland in Canada, what you have to do is you get screeched in. And what that entails is that you take a shot of screeched whiskey and you kiss a cod on the lips.
Oh, God.
Oh,
that sounds absolutely horrible.
Well, I don't. You know what, Kel? I'll be quite honest with you. I don't think it would really puts him off. Don't forget, cats don't mind a bit of fish, and of course they have been known to eat worms.
I keep forgetting that. Yes, we have our little cat here.
He don't mind kissing a cod. Am I right, Tim?
Oh, that would be so funny. That would
I'll
be hilarious.
I'll give it a try. If Kel wants me to
do
that, that's what I'll do.
You, Kel. There you go. But anyway, what we like, eh? But anyway, it's a cat thing, isn't it, Tim? You know, as we'll say that. You like that, didn't you? But anyway, Kel and Tim, I know, Kel, you've got to go and get your makeup on and your best dress for tonight.
Oh, yeah, I've got to get the curlers out of my hair and put my lipstick on and get ready for my show in an hour.
Yeah. Radio show tonight in curlers, Kel. Tim, oh, my goodness, I can't believe it.
Don't let out my secrets.
I can't believe Kel's sitting in her curlers. I thought she had a best dress on, Tim. I'm not disappointed. I'm going to go away and sulk after the show,
funny.
Tim.
Yeah.
But anyway,
don't worry, Jeff.
Kel.
I'm wearing pink curlers, and I look absolutely fabulous in my pink curlers and my terry cloth robe. Don't worry,
well,
honey.
We're
going to
take your word for it now, darling.
I'm
very disappointed you had your curlers in for the show. And oh my goodness me, I'm devastated, Tim. Devastated.
Well, I mean, I'm just wondering how I should describe my ensemble.
Is this a case of shock and awe?
Tim's wearing his nightcap with his slippers and his candlestick.
I've got me candlestick holder with me candle in it. I've got me nightshirt, with Yorkshire Terrier vomit stains all over it. I've got my slippers. I've got me nightcap. I'm a real picture.
Special old girl.
It's 11 p.m. over there, Tim. Marley's going to show up any moment at your door.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure I can hear the clanking of the chains at the door even as we speak.
I'm sure you can, Tim. Oh my God! I've got Kel with the curlers in and Tim with his wee willy winky outfit. Oh my goodness!
Oh, yeah.
We're
not going to talk about that. So you leave my
laughing at wee willy winky outfit you're wearing, Tim.
Oh, the outfit. Oh yes, yes, quite so.
She's still laughing, Tim. She's still laughing. And me, I'm just sitting here naked. I mean, I don't know what you two, man.
Oh, baby.
Too much.
See, that's why I hate
and
it when there's an ocean
face,
separating us.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, listeners. If you're listening to the show, I'm not really. I've got my slippers on.
Oh dear.
Anyway, it is Friday night, and I know, Kel, that you've got your show to do. Tim and Kel, thank you so much for everything you've done tonight on this show. It's been a fantastic roller coaster ride, as usual. So with that, what I'm going to do tonight?
I'm playing. You know what, Jeff? I found the perfect exit song. I uploaded it.
Let's see if you've got the same as me. Go on, Kel, what was you going to play? Please,
We are the champions.
We wasn't thinking the same. I was thinking we must resist. But let's play the champions anyway because I love it. Well done, Kel.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, you know what? I think this is so appropriate, and, you know, because we had so many wonderful callers tonight, so many people in the chat room, and so many wonderful comments. And like I say, I apologize for losing myself in the weeds. I've had terrible feedback just the last hour of the program, so my apologies, gentlemen, for that.
No problem, Kel.
We did have a banner program, Jeff and Tim. Wonderful, wonderful.
Thank you, Kel, and thank you, Tim, and everybody that's associated with the English Defence League radio show. It's a great honour and privilege to do these shows with great people, great panel, great co-hosts. What can I say? I'm very humbled. So thank you so much, guys. So with that, Kel, our exit tune for the night is We Are the Champions by, of course, Queen, the one and only Queen. So with that, Kel, over to you.
You bet. Have a great evening, gentlemen.
Yeah, same to
you,
Kel.
Thank you, Kel.
I'll speak to you soon.
Absolutely.
I paid my dues time after time. I've done my sentence but committed no crime. And bad mistakes I've made a few.
You just can't help it, can you, Kel? It's just a fantastic tune. But anyway, Kel, good luck with your show tonight. I know you're going to have a great show. I know you are.
It was wonderful, Jeff, as usual. I really apologize for losing myself in the weeds, ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely.
I was having I was having a few technical issues, and Jeff is so gracious in that he
you
was
come through like a champ as usual, Kel. You know you do. That's it. You're a champ. Like I said, we are the champions, and you're one of the champions, Kel. So thank you so much. And we didn't notice you was experiencing any problems over this from this end, myself and Tim. So it's just sorry that you have experienced the problems yourself. But anyway, we better close this episode out. Ladies and gentlemen, this is myself, and there's Kel, a.k.a. the Red Fox Blog, with our own great show later on this evening, probably about 54 minutes away. So please tune in to Kel's show, because I know you will not be disappointed. And she's got a great guest on this evening as well. So with that, from myself, Kel, and of course all the team, the staff, everybody that's involved with the English Defence League radio station, good night. Take care. Stay safe. God bless you all. And for myself and Kel, because Tim's not here, he's gone. There's no surrender.
No surrender.
Good night, Kel.
No surrender ever.
Darling.
Love you, Jeff. I'll talk to you soon.
Love
Have
you.
A great night.
And you, Kel. Good night, love. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.